really interesting. Watch these things. There are really some good stuff in this. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little ones. That's nursing children, infants. It's a baptismal statement where revelation is a work of God, not of your intellect. So hang on to that. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Again, the work of God in the action of conversion. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you go on from there to Romans 15, it's a one-liners, but it's beautiful. It kind of fits in. You'll kind of put these all together. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with every joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice how hope has to rest in the Spirit there. And finally, Romans 7, verses 14 to 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who are doing it, but it is sin, my sinful nature living in me. Watch this, as Paul's really revealing a discovery that absolutely knocks his socks off, but beautiful. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. That's what your human nature is. All right, Paul got it figured out. We preach law and gospel on Sundays, so in case any of us misunderstand this, very important. Nothing good in me, all right? For I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to. The evil I don't want to do is, The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, notice the identification of that, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen to that. All right, I'd like to invite the kids to come down. Yeah, squeeze around over here. There you go. Yeah, a little bit farther down. A little farther down. Make room. Mom's coming down. Make some room for Mom. Hi. You can come. You can do whatever you want, Sharon. Good morning. It's good to see all of you running around and healthy. You stay that way, okay? What's this? All right, watch. Balloon, balloon, I want you to float. Balloon, balloon, you have to float or else. What's going to happen? No. Now, are any of you smart enough to tell me why it falls down? Why doesn't the balloon, if I let go of it, why doesn't it just stay right there? Because what makes it go down? Failure. What makes it go down? A science class. It's a law of gravity. Every time I jump up, guess what happens to me? I come back down. Has that happened to you too? You ever jump off a chair? Did any of you float up and hit the ceiling? Did you land on the ground? All right. Well, this is a very sincere balloon. So he tries to do the command, which is float, balloon, float, right? And he does this. He floated for a little while, didn't he? And then where did he end up? Down on the ground. Well, I want to introduce you to another balloon. This balloon figured out how to tie a knot in it. But watch. Float, balloon, float. Should I try again, or is it going to happen the same way? Now, something has to change inside the balloon, right? Because you saw balloons do not, even when they're filled with air, they still don't. So there's nothing I can do for that balloon to make it. But I did get a different thing, or actually Miss Sandy got it for me. I got something back here that I want to show you, a different kind of balloon that you've seen before. Ah, it's filled with something different, isn't it? Whoop, I got one to stay here, I guess, too. You stay there. And they're tied together. Here's two balloons. They're not filled with. They're not just blown up and let go of. Because what law? The law of gravity keeps pulling them down to the ground. This is filled with what we call helium. You knew that. Good. And helium is actually lighter than air is so heavy. It goes down. This balloon now is lighter than that, and it'll float up. Now, in my sermon today, I'm going to be talking about people who aren't filled with helium yet. Only it's not helium, it's God's Holy Spirit. And so they try so hard. They get filled up, and they work, and they work, and they boom. All right. Or they tie themselves in a knot, and they still lay on the ground and wonder why they're not happy, why they're not floating, why their life is bad, until they get filled with something brand new, which is the helium in a balloon, not the air, but the helium in the balloon. Then the balloon can do something very, very different. Now, I'm going to be explaining that to your parents. I don't want to quite put it over the fire. And it's not going to stay there. There we go. And it's not going to like that either. There we go. I'm going to be explaining that to your parents in the sermon. Only instead of saying helium, I'll use the word be filled with the helium of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the helium of the Holy Spirit, then suddenly you can actually do something you could never do on your own. That's what my sermon's about. So you listen for it today, okay? All right, wonderful. I have a treat for you guys. Who goes first? Ladies first. Yes, here we go. Come on over here. You stay right there. You can kind of keep an eye on it for me. There you go. Take one. Take one. I'm counting down. 5, 4. Don't go in there. Don't go in there. Go over by the candy now. Okay, girls are done. You bet. Who cares? This is a beautiful little section, and I hope you grab hold of it. I heard a sermon, and a question was asked, does anyone really care? And the question was asked in relation to, if I died tomorrow, would anyone really care? I mean, yeah, my family may have to cry and feel bad, but you know, I don't know how long that'll last, but that was what the pastor was trying to ask the question of. And then in a frustrating moment, as he was describing it, he said, does Jesus really care? Which also is a legitimate question that we all ask sometimes, because life takes us down some pretty unpredictable paths. And we're in the middle of one with COVID, and as family members and different individuals deal with some of the problems and things that are out there, we can relate to some of that very clearly and very understandably. Does anyone really care? But I wanted to instead focus on the things that God assures us of, but I also wanted to help us understand why it's difficult to do the very things that God calls us to. So in the Matthew 11 text, I want you to notice that Jesus talks about something really important. He goes, Father, there are people here that don't get it. They still don't get it. They don't understand how much you care. They don't understand how you have touched their lives individually. And he goes, I praise you, God, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. Now, you don't have to be old to think you're wise and learned. Somewhere about 12 or 14, we always think we know everything. Okay? And somewhere, if we're lucky, before we turn 50, we figure out it's not true. But it's one of those peculiar things that we sometimes believe about ourselves in life, that we have things figured out. And so it's really a powerful statement here where he says, you've hidden these things from the so-called wise and learned, and it goes on, and instead you reveal them to the infants. Nursing infants is the word in the Greek, the blephos, the littlest ones. All right? Now I want you to notice, revealed to the nursing infant. My nursing infant probably doesn't know a lot of words. He may know mom, he may know dad in terms of smell or touch or sound or voice or something else like that. But in terms of this, it's a powerful little statement. I can reveal this to an infant while you old people sit here and don't get it at all. That's why in my life, I sit there and I'll go back into passages that I've heard a preacher preach on or I grew up on, and all of a sudden I read it and it's like something goes like this, and I hear and see something in the passage I've never seen or heard before. In other words, the revelation of God is something that goes on continuously in our lives. And don't assume because you're learned, whatever you want to call it, educated, that you're now smarter than you were when you were uneducated, or that somehow God can't reveal it to the littlest one sitting in your family while you're the oldest one sitting in your family. So this becomes absolutely vital. Watch what goes on next. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. That's Jesus talking to God again. Interesting interaction here, Father to Son, Son to Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And then again, word revealed is brought in. The one who Jesus chooses to reveal it to. If I know Jesus, it has been a work of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit revealing it to me. If I get this at all, it hasn't because I was smart enough to figure it out. It was because God said, I'm going to lift your from your eyes the things that blind you. I'm going to make it clear. To reveal means to uncover. You take the cover off the treasure chest and you look at what's inside. That's what reveal means there in the word. So finally he comes to this point. Come to me, Jesus, all of you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. First command, you come to me. I hate to break it to you. We talked about it in Bible study. People are not your rescuers. God willing, there's some really wonderful, nice people out there. But the trouble is God never says, put your trust in people. He doesn't say, put your trust in your wife or your husband. Put your trust in your son or your daughter, your mom and your dad. Not because he doesn't love those people. Not because he doesn't want them to be faithful and good and everything else. But he's reminding you that the anchor is here. I am the rock on which you stand. Your anchor holds because I am the anchor, not anybody else. Everyone else is subject to change, alteration, either in mood or attitude, health or whatever the case might be. I always thought we would go in this direction, our lives go in this one, whatever the case might be. And so you begin to understand. He says, you come to me. And then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke. That's that thing that fit on around the neck of an oxen. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will obtain rest for your souls. So what's happening here, he says, you have to come to me. You have to let the yoke that he gives you fit on you, and you have to learn from him. You understand? There is learning from the pastor, which God willing is good. You guys can evaluate that. There's learning on your own when you open up the Word of God. That learning, when God is interacting with you, you and his Word learning is at a totally different level of intimacy. When you uncover something, you're depressed or frustrated or angry or disappointed, use it as a motivation to get back in the Word. Find that word that you need. I may not be preaching any words that you need to hear today. You may need to hear something totally different. So you come to church, you smile nice, you sing a few songs, and you leave. But the Spirit of God was not able to reach into your life because you have got something totally different going on. Your boyfriend is putting pressure on you. You don't know what's going to happen to you financially. Whatever the issue might be, it might be different than any issue I'm talking about or addressing today. And so it becomes very important. Learn from me. And then he says, listen, I'll be gentle with you. I'll take it easy on you. If you got to learn something, you got a teacher that gets up in your face, that's pretty hard to go talk to that teacher. But if you got a teacher that's responsive, accepts you for the weaknesses you may have, that's that gentle and humble in spirit. And finally, he goes, that yoke is easy and the burden light. And he ends that thought right there. And I go, he's trying to help you understand. What's my burden from my Lord? Well, the yoke is read my word. Oh, what else? Just read my word. What's my other yoke? Pray for the things you need. You mean like pray? And that's, yeah. Well, pray for those who you love and care about. Pray for those who you know that don't know the Lord. The yoke is not just a singular thing. It's what fits well with who you are at this point in your life. You understand, the yoke doesn't make you good enough to earn your way to heaven. I have come to Jesus, I have put on the yoke, and now I'm good enough for heaven. He's not taking you down that path, all right? He's taking you down that come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, all right? It's that simple and yet complicated statement that he goes to. Now watch what goes on now in Romans 15. This is the second one up there. And I'm going to try and pull all these together for you if you'll stay with me a little bit here. May the Lord God of hope fill you with every joy. There are multiple kinds of joy. There are the kind, you got to understand that flavor of every joy. The joy in suffering. The joy in good times. The joy in the middle of tears. The joy at the birth of a child. The joy at the gift of something, the joy of celebrating something good that happened in your life. They just won the lottery. They just got $500,000. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Well, that's a different kind of joy than the middle of an affliction or a suffering. So watch it. Every joy, second gift, and peace as you trust in him. Notice the focus. I will give you joy and I will give you peace. Here's the focus. As you trust in Christ. It doesn't just float out there. All right? You understand? I can say to a kid if I'm doing a rescue in a lifeguard situation, you know, hold on to the life, preserver. And it'll float. It'll keep the kid above water. But if he won't hold on to the life preserver, it's going to do him absolutely no good. The same thing is true in these situations. All right? I got people trying to blow the air up of their life and zoom around trying to do enough good works. Well, we'll take care of this sick family and we'll go visit that person. We'll mow this person's lawn and we'll get done. And we'll have zoomed around and when we fall and hit the ground, we'll have done enough good stuff. And I go, where did you end up? Like a balloon on the ground. It wasn't a question of where you wanted to end up or what you wanted to accomplish. Your intent to do something good was there. Your ability to carry it out was not. No matter how often I breathe out, God willing, I'll never breathe out helium because it won't be a good moment or it'll be a quick one if I do it very long. I'll talk like this too, right? You've always heard that. So this is the point. Now watch the next point. So that you can overflow superabundantly with hope. Look at those three things. Do you think we possibly need them in today's world? Joy, peace, and hope? I go, well, if you want that, God says, I want to give that to you. It's something I want to pour into your life. And it says this, finishes it off, hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The balloon that floats is radically different than the balloon laying on the ground. One is failed. The other brings nothing to the story except the container. The only reason that balloon is floating is because of what is inside of it. One's heading for death, damnation, judgment. All right? The other one, if I let go of it outside, will theoretically continue to go up and up. What makes the difference? The Holy Spirit in you. Now, you've got to recognize that's what you've got to grapple with so that you're not just a balloon down on the ground, tied in some knot thinking that's all I got to worry about, or a balloon that whips around in the air trying to do enough good things to win people's favor. So be alert to that. Watch the last thing now. Romans 7 is a beautiful, I remember reading it. I used to laugh. Did any of you, honestly, you were laughing listening to me mumble through it, right? The good that I want to do, I don't do, and I don't want to do that, so I do it anyway. Therefore, it's not me doing it, and you kind of get done. I would read that to my kids in class, and they all break out laughing. Well, that's so stupid. What's he talking about? All right? That's a fair statement. But Paul got something that is absolutely vital. And I tried to help us understand that. Paul understands something in his life, okay? Paul understands that within him, there is this force. It's like gravity. That force inside of me will make me think an evil thought, speak an evil deed, give you an evil look, and on and on and on, and a drop of a hat. It is called sinful nature, old Adam. It has power in your life. Until you're saved, it's the only ultimate power in your life that you have. And that thing works against you. It makes you think if you do enough good works, you'll get to heaven. If you tie off your good works and can list them out like a balloon on the ground, you'll get to heaven. And the answer is no, none of them will ever work. Paul had to figure this out. He did not have a helium balloon to demonstrate it. He instead had to go, I really want to do what God's word tells me to do. But it's kind of like inside of me, there is an understanding side that says good things. Forgive your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Don't lie, cheat, or steal, or murder. He said, inside of me, at least in that inner man, he called it his inner man, I want to do those things. But he said, there's another force far bigger that causes me to end up on the ground, race around the sky, slam myself down on the ground, get nowhere. And he says, this is a wretched situation. I blow up my life. I try harder and harder and harder. And I race around for a few more split seconds until I crash again. Paul said, this is horrible. This is wretched. This is not the way I want to live. And so that's his call upon our hearts. He's actually going, have you come to the end of yourself yet? Now I'm going to change it so I get you to understand the section just slightly different. Put your trust in God because he cares for you. I want you to rely on the Holy Spirit. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Take my yoke and learn from me. I am humble and I will give you rest. Do you understand? I can't even do that. Oh, I want to. Haven't you been in a situation? I want to be kind and forgiving and all I really want to do is punch your lights out. Or is that only me? Right? I really wish I want to do something good, and I end up thinking a bad thought. All right, boy, are you a loser. And here you are doing something nice, like helping me get my car started. Or my brain is capable of unbelievable. Any of your brains like that? I go, haven't you ever noticed? Don't you really want to trust God and not be afraid during COVID? Oh, yes, I pray for that every day, and I mean it. Haven't you noticed sometimes you're terrified? You walk around going, don't get close to me! And all the other things we do. And I go, how come in the middle of what I know I want to be, whether it's a part of my moment-to-moment life here or a spiritual realm, even the kind things, can you just forgive this person? Can you speak a good word to them? Can you think something encouraging for them? No, I can't think of anything encouraging. Or, well, you're less ugly today than you were yesterday. Or, I mean, I don't know how stupid we can be, but it's pretty unbelievable, all right? And we turn on people, and when we get sarcastic, we got all these things. God looks at you and he says, child, I love you so much. I want you to cast your care upon me. I want to carry your burden. I want to do this for you. Are you ready? You can't do it like a blown up air balloon that races around the room. I tried to be good. And then I crashed into the wall or into the floor and I ended up on the ground. And I go, that's part of our dilemma. Here's what Paul uncovered. I can't do it. Dear Lord, I can't even cast my cares upon you. God goes, I know. Do you want some help? Am I going to have to reveal it to the infant, right? Or am I have to reveal it to the wise person who's finally willing to learn something? And that's the miracle of what Paul uncovers. He uncovers in himself this battle between the inner man and the sinful nature, and this battle between the inner man and the nature that is given to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that battle, they're waging war. I've told you this many times before. It's not the devil that you're fighting. It's your own sinful nature. It's the thing inside of you that won't let you stop worrying. How many times have you said that same thing, made that same promise about something you're going to change in your life? I'm going to be less mouthy with people. I'm going to be less critical of people. I'm going to do this. And you turn around and you find yourself behaving in exactly the same way. The answer is the battle was won by the flesh and it quenched the spirit at that point, and your flesh took over and out spewed a bunch of junk that didn't do you or your life any good. Once you get this, you understand what Paul is really trying to help you uncover, because his last line is so important. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's going to rescue me from this pathetic man I am? How is it I can look at you and say something nice but not do something nice out there? I was listening to a pastor preach a sermon. He was talking about a young man that came into the pastor's church, and he was really moved by the Holy Spirit and began to follow that pastor around a little bit and let the pastor be a part of his life. And they went out to lunch or whatever it was afterward. And the man was really moved to repent and follow Christ. But the pastor out at the lunch was foolish and degrading with words and language and whatever else it is. And so the young man found out the pastor in the church was different than the pastor he was getting to know out there. And at that point, he made the decision, I'm not going to follow God. Whatever this man is sharing with me doesn't count, doesn't matter. Years later, the young man, now a little older, was dying from something. And somehow he sent for the pastor, same one that betrayed God in a sense on how he lived out there. And in that moment, the young man, now very sick and near death, said, do you know who I am? Pastor said, no. And he said, do you remember preaching at such and such a place? Such and such a church. He goes, yes. He reintroduced himself. I just want you to know it's because of you I'm going to hell. I want you to know that. Because the way you lived was not at all what you preached, which communicated to me there is no power in what you preach. And that was the end of the story. Well, pastors heard that. All right? And I know there's inconsistency in my life sometimes. But it's important to get that. You know, it you have to understand. I don't know who and what need I have sitting in front of me on a particular day. I don't know what you're struggling with, because you could be something so totally different than I can anticipate. Something that I'm not aware of, or that I thought was done with, it's not done with. It's right back in your life all over again. And so here's the rescue. Here's what Paul covers. He goes, I have learned that I have to rely fully upon Jesus Christ. And I go, Jesus Christ, take me to the cross. Jesus Christ, take me to that point where I can actually forgive. Jesus Christ, open up your word. I develop that intimacy with Christ, because the rescue is found in Christ, who will give to me what is needed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that becomes the challenge. Paul in 21 goes, I find this law at work. You guys understood the law of gravity. All right? When I do good, want to do good, I fall flat on my face, smash into the ground, no matter how hard I try, no matter how many times I blow up the air in that balloon. I can't make it work. All right? For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. God's law is good stuff. Every one of us has got exposed to it. As soon as you start to drive, it's the 5 mile over, right? 10 mile for some of you. 17:50 for a few of you. 27 for, all right. I see another law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. I cannot escape gravity. And I'm sorry, even if I got filled with helium, I wouldn't float. But the balloon does show you that what is inside of you makes all the difference in the world. And that's what you have to rely on. You have to keep allowing, letting the Spirit of God work his way into your life. And like the first one said, you have to put your rest on Christ. That's where the rest comes from. And finally, he says, making me a prisoner of this law of sin. It says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me? I can't even be consistent on dealing with fear. I can't even be consistent on dealing with tenderness or mercy. It's not in me. I go along great, and all of a sudden I sidetrack. I go along great, and suddenly a thought comes screaming into my mind that doesn't belong there. And so the question is, what do you do with those? Well, the answer is you can lay on the ground and think you've got enough good stuff filling you up that you don't have anything to worry about. You can try and blow yourself back up and do some good things to compensate for the bad. Or you can go right back to Christ and say, I need something totally different than what is in me now to live like I need to live, Lord. I need to be filled with your presence in a way I've never been filled with it. And so that's the challenge, is uncovering and discovering the helium of God's Holy Spirit in my life. When I acknowledge I can't even keep myself happy, I can't even keep myself from worrying, I can't keep myself from getting depressed, I can't do any of those things, but I've learned, as I've begun to understand what it means to rest on Christ, follow Christ, praise Christ, and praise God in every situation, I've learned that the byproduct of God in my life is like helium in a balloon. God brings to me different attitudes, emotions, and behaviors. The very thing that I'm so guilty of, where my eyes wander, where my mind goes, what my mouth says, whatever your or my sin is, those are taken away. Because God has given to me something brand new inside of me. That's why Paul can say, who will rescue me from this wretched condition I'm in? Thanks be to Jesus Christ. That was his rescue. It's our rescue. And that's what we need to rely on. Pray with me if you would. Lord God, our rescue is never in our effort. Our rescue is in the purity of your gospel. All things have been done. And there is a brand new spirit that you have poured into us through your Holy Spirit to fill us up, to cause us to function differently than we ever have, to make us very conscious and aware, Lord, of what you're doing. So come and fill your people today. Help them to gain victory over the sinful nature inside of them. Help them to recognize the power of your Holy Spirit in them. And then, Lord, help them to set their eyes upon you. Help them to stay attached to the vine. Help them to know what it means to have my mind stayed on you, O Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen.